Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to another evening of the virtual hot talk show for married men. We continue to come to you every Tuesday night, bringing you the best and even talk show. The show tonight is brought to you by, again, the www.householdstress.com team. And I am your host for the evening. My name is Patrice, also known as, a.k.a., Head of Household for you this evening. You know, usually when we get on here, we have a nice little story. We have done the research. We have gathered all our questions. I'm working with my daughter this evening and earlier this week on something called the scientific method. If y'all guys know what that is, that's finding the problem, gathering information, making an observation, making a hypnosis is what they call it, testing it out, and then giving a conclusion. Well, my heart has been troubled for these past couple weeks, and I didn't have time to do all that. But I did do the scientific method. I did go in and try to figure out what was the problem was, how I can help, analyze the data that I was going to be helping, test it out, and come with a conclusion. And our topic tonight, fellas, is a good one. How to forgive and love a cheating wife. Let me say that again, just in case you don't understand it. How to forgive and love a cheating wife. I bet you right now it's going through your head that same scientific method. Some of you on this call may have gone through that, where you've had a cheating wife, or you have had a friend, or loved one, a brother, sister, a family member who is going through that or has gone through a scenario with a cheating wife. Well, my heart is troubled because it's close to my home. It's happening with one of my family members, someone I love dearly and I respect dearly. And I feel that he's a good head of household. I'm just going to tell you a brief little story about him. Hopefully he gets on. He's a little nervous. He texts me and says, I don't know, at the last second, you know. So I know if he's at that point where he was first ready to talk about it and then get to the point where he is now pushing back from it, you can understand the pain that this man is going through. Mm-hmm. So my heart is troubled. I pray for this man. I hope that even he prays. Let's, you know, if you can give a short prayer right where you are, just to see if he gets on so that we can help this guy out, that would be great. But as again, tonight's topic is how to forgive and love a cheating wife. Here's the story. Two folks love each other, marry each other, see each other in high school. They go together through high school. They graduate together in high school. They try to move in together after high school. They come and live with you so they can save up a little money so they can get an apartment. But what their troubles at that time, that troubles is, you know, when they're arguing back and forth, they throw things at each other. They touch each other almost violently. They don't know how to control their anger. Now, we're talking 17, 18-year-old kids right now. Well, they stay together. They move out of our place. Actually, I had to kick them out of my place because I couldn't take it no more. They wouldn't listen to me. And I literally had to kick a family member out of my own home because I saw that their relationship was not going to go anywhere. Well, I didn't believe in the relationship. Right there, I didn't believe in her. I thought that the girl was, she was sweet, but had some issues, but I was blaming it on youth. And with that being said, they moved in together. They finally got that money. They got that apartment. But multiple times I had to go over there. My wife had to go over there because the cops were called. They get in an argument. He throws something. No, she throws something. The cops are called. She was abusive to him. She was hitting him. But when the cops are called, she made it seem like he was the one hitting her, if y'all understand what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where the cops knew him by name.
Mm.
Now, this is where it is. They went to counseling. They got it straight. They got married. They had a kid. I had two kids. And they were doing good. But every once in a while, they have that flashback argument. Cops called again. They got into the church. They went to her church. He got saved. I don't believe she got saved. He's Christian. He's taking the boys. Now he's involved at the church with the Boy Scouts. He's in the choir. He's doing a lot of different things. And it seems like it's working out for him. However, time goes by. Make a long story short, now he's expecting that she's cheating. Now he's getting in trouble. She wants to go out to the clubs. She wants to have that life that she didn't have because they were married right out of school. When it's at the point now where she's moved out, she's taking the kids, moved out, and moved in with another man.
Mm. Wow.
But the thing is it gets worse, is that if he takes the kids and he's down too long, she's calling him, threatening him, I'm calling the cops if you don't bring my kids back. Don't want him to take his kids to his mother's house, when that's who used to keep the kids so they could save money and go to work.
You said they're married?
Yes.
Does she have custody of the children?
She just took the kids. There is no custody.
She can call the cops all day, but that won't. They can't do anything. Those are his kids, too.
That's right. And, well, I don't know if anybody else has those stories, but that's where we are right now. And
is that the brother?
I'm close to him, and I'm biased. I'm on his side.
Is that the brother you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'll give you good advice. Get a good damn lawyer.
Oh, I've been trying to tell him.
Wow. Let me tell you a little story about me. This is firsthand. This ain't secondhand. This is firsthand. I got little ones in the house. I got to close this door. I'm telling you the truth, okay?
Yeah.
I got my grandbaby here right now. My daughter is in the hospital, and we have to keep the baby.
Yeah.
I was going through a devastating divorce, and I was, you know, I had an affair several years earlier, and I was at the bottom. I was pawn scum. I was lower than pawn scum, and she made me know about it for, you know, all this and all that. And she moved out, and everything was my fault. And then I found out she was banging one of my contractors that was painting for me.
Wow.
Yeah. And I didn't realize that until you know, some things had gone down, and I decided I was gonna deliver her a letter, pouring my heart out, telling her how wrong and how sorry I was, and I went to her house to tell her how she moved out to, which I was paying for, by the way, to deliver this letter about how, you know, horrible I had been and how sorry I was, and this dude answers the door.
Wow.
Yeah, that wasn't cool. So he saw me and slammed the door.
Oh,
and I'm gonna clean this up.
Your money.
Huh?
He's trying to live off your money.
Yeah, and I'm gonna clean this up because I was a new Christian at the time, and I'm gonna clean this up. So I decided to walk around to the back door, sliding door, and said fine gentleman was trying to sneak out the back.
Mm.
And he saw me, and I lightly tapped on the door and said, "Fine gentleman, maybe you should come out here and we should talk about you banging my wife."
Mm.
And he didn't want to come out. I don't know why. At the time, I had no idea what I was going to do, and I was going out of my mind. Anybody, I don't know if any of y'all ever, you know, confronted, you know, some of the fine gentlemen banging your wife, but, you know, I kind of had a little temper situation, and so I decided I didn't know what I was going to do. I was going to sit in my truck, and when he came out, I was going to kill him. So I'm sitting in my truck, and you got to understand, my life is over, so I really don't care. You got to die. I mean, you banging my wife, you got to die. Now, I don't know why I'm going to kill him instead of her, but that's just, you know, you know what I'm saying. I don't know. We won't think like that, you know. And so I'm sitting in my truck in a place where he can't see it, and you know, he sticks his little punk, well, let me clean that up. He sticks his little head out the door, looks both ways, and decides to run over to his car. Okay. At that time, I'm in the parking lot, and I had a Explorer at the time, and I floor it about 80 miles an hour, and I stop right in front of his little car and jump out about 2 inches so he can't pull out. That was one of the miracles Lord had given me. And I had decided at that point I had two choices. Choice A, punch my hand through his window, rip him out, pull his arms off, and beat him to death with his arms. Or choice B, find a rock, bust his window, rip him out, pull his arms off, and beat him to death with his arms. So at that point, I chose B. So I was looking around for a rock, and I was going to bust his window out. And as I picked up the rock, the Lord said to me, "Put the rock down and let him go."
Mm.
Now, I was a little upset, and I was not in a place to hear what God had to say. Because, you know, somebody had to die that day, and I didn't care. I mean, you know, a dude is in trouble when you don't care if you die. Okay? So he was banging my wife, so he had to die. And the Lord told me to get in the car and let him go. And I was like, "Satan, get out of here." He got to die. He's screwing my wife. Okay, he's got to die. You know, and so, I mean, I am at the height of unbelievable rage. And at that point, you know, I couldn't believe it, you know, but the Lord spoke to me again and said, "Get in the car and let him go." And I couldn't, that just couldn't process. I mean, he's screwing my wife. He has to die. I mean, Tony, you on the phone, Tony?
I'm right here, brother.
You with me? You understand that, right?
Fully.
You roll up on a brother screwing your wife. What happens?
That's what you said.
Okay. Now, the gentleman didn't want to come out of the car and talk about it. I don't know why. And you know, I want to talk about it. He didn't want to talk about it. You know, he wanted to drive away. But I wouldn't let him drive away because one of us had to die that day. And it didn't matter if it was me or him, but one of us was going to die. But at that point, the Lord stepped in again for the third time and said, "Get in the car and let him go." And I was just stunned, you know, because, you know, I ain't no punk, you know, and you got to die. And this is one of the miracles God, you know, spoke. This is one of the only times God actually spoke to me, I mean, verbally spoke to me in my life. And he met me right then because I would either have been dead or in jail. I wouldn't have been dead because, you know, he would have died. There's no doubt, okay? And at that point, I didn't know what to do, and I pulled my car next to his, and he wouldn't leave, and his car wouldn't start or some nonsense like that, and I didn't know what to do. I don't know if y'all ever been so upset you can't think, you don't even know what to do, and I didn't know what to do, and I called a buddy of mine, and he said, you know, "What's going on?" I said, you know, he's sitting next to me. He said, "Well, you need to drive away, man. Start the car, you know, put it in reverse and drive away." By that time, you know, I'm driving out of the neighborhood now. And as I get out of the neighborhood, two cop cars come flying up, guns drawn, get out of the car. To me, yes, to me. My wife, she was still my wife at the time, called the cops and told them I had a gun and I was trying to kill her boyfriend.
Wow.
So they pulled me out of the car, you know, prone position, blah, 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 guns drawn. I told my buddy I think I probably have to hang the phone up.
Yeah.
And so the guys, the cops were like, we got a report, you got a gun, and you're trying to, you know, this and that. I said, I have no gun, man, you know. They said, can we search your vehicle? I said, sure, search the vehicle. You know, I ain't got no gun. I was trying to, you know, I was trying to give a letter to my wife telling her, you know, I was sorry for what I was doing. And I rolled up there, and some dude's banging my wife, you know. And they searched the car, of course, no gun or nothing like that, you know. And the cops said, sir, you know, is that her house? Are you on a lease? I said, no. He said, well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to give you some advice. He said, she can screw anybody she wants. I suggest you get a good lawyer. Mm. And at that point, I collapsed right on the street and just fell out, sobbing and crying and all that nonsense. That's a long story to tell you that if somebody wants to roll out, you got to let them go. I don't care what you do. You ain't going to keep them. If somebody wants to go, the Bible says, let them go.
And I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, my wife has told this gentleman that if she left you, let her go. You know, I told him, I said, listen, let her go, but you still be a man to take care of your kids.
Yep.
If it was me, I'm walking down to the courthouse and ask for joint custody and me being the father of two boys.
That's exactly right.
I want the boys to live with me because their mother walked out on me and I can't have my boys.
Right.
Thinking
tell
that
it's okay
lawyer, to
because,
do.
Because that's the only thing that can happen, man, because you know what? When somebody makes the decision to pull that kind of game and boldly do that kind of step, and she gonna move up to some other brother's house?
And you said she called the cops and said that her husband was trying to beat up her boyfriend.
No, trying to shoot her boyfriend.
Trying to shoot her boyfriend. That don't even sound right.
Right.
I mean, that don't even sound right.
Well, I'm telling you, I was pulling out of the development, and when I got to the stop sign, two cop cars came flying up. They jumped out, guns drawn. Okay? And you know, after they searched the car, and the cop's talking to me and this and that, and he says, you know, well, you know, you're free to go because, you know, you haven't, you know, you ain't violated the law or nothing. You're free to go. And he says, you know, what's going on? I said, you know, I was just trying to, you know, deliver, you know, a note to my wife and this and that and, you know, some other dudes up in the place. He said, sir, if you are not, you know, if you're not on that lease, she can screw anybody she wants. He said, I've seen this too many times, man. He said, it's not worth going to jail over. He said, I'm going to give you some good advice. He said, I've seen this a lot. Get a good attorney.
Yeah,
that was the best advice anybody gave me because I was chasing and I thought I was a Christian. I thought I had to do all these things. I got to make this marriage work. I got to bring her home. And this was after months and months and months of trying to do this. And she continued to, you know, to want to, you know, be in relationships and do what she wanted to do. And the bottom line is the word of God says that, you know, if you are with a non-Christian and they want to go, let them go. And my problem was my wife was a professed Christian. So I had a problem. I said, well, she's not a non-Christian. I can't just let her go. I'm stuck in this marriage. I gotta bring her home and make it work, or I can't even get married again. I was reading the scripture wrong. Yeah, I didn't understand. I was a baby Christian. Okay? And the word of God also says, you know, hey, if you are a quote unquote Christian, but you are walking in the Word of God, you are to be treated as a tax collector, okay, or an infidel. You're not to be treated as a Christian. So if somebody calls themselves a Christian and they're not walking in the Word, okay, they're to be treated as a non-Christian.
So, Andrew, what did you do when the officer said, you know, get a good lawyer and after, you know, you got yourself together and everything? How long did it take you, you know, to make that phone call or to look in the Yellow Pages or, you know?
I'm going to tell you what, I went through another year of hell because I didn't want to hear that. I knew that if I tried hard enough, she would come home. And it's what I had to go through because I had to know that I'd done everything I could to make my marriage work. And everybody continued to tell me, you know, man, it's like I'm saying to this brother, if that brother got on the phone, he wouldn't hear me. Okay? People kept saying, man, dude, this is one you don't come. I'm telling you, when they make those kind of moves, you got to, you know, and what I was doing, I was going from church to church, from pastor to pastor, from prayer line to prayer line, thinking, well, you know, if somebody just says the right prayer or somebody just lays hands right or, you know, something, it's going to change. And the bottom line is the heart is desperately wicked. And when somebody wants to do that kind of action that that woman has done, okay, she's made a choice that, you know, that's one of those, you got to step back and now you got to start to protect yourself. Because when somebody is capable of pulling that, they're capable of doing all kind of stuff.
Well,
I've had it done to me. I've had my bank accounts drained. I mean, when I finally woke up, I had $19.76 in my checking account.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking, I had tens of thousands of dollars. She had set up secret accounts at other banks and funneled money because she was, I'm not the one writing the checks and stuff. That's not my forte. You know, and I mean, she just, I mean, you know, when I finally woke up, that was about a year later. Now, here I am paying the rent and other dudes up there banging mama.
That's all I can say.
Uh-huh.
I understand you had to put your back, you wanted to put that Bible in the back pocket and go to work. I understand. And I think everybody here feels the same way. And glory be to God that he took care of the situation for you.
Yeah.
But the question to the audience tonight is, what does love have to do with it? When a man loves, it's a different love than a woman's love. I mean, if we can get agreement on that. And a man, when he loves somebody and he loves them unconditionally, it hurts him to the T when that heart gets stabbed right there in the heart, in the middle of his heart.
Well,
that you get rid of that love. Because
I want to comment on something. We don't understand, and we don't have the possibility to have unconditional love. Okay?
Right.
Trust me, when somebody stabs you deep enough, you wake up.
Yep.
But some brothers don't wake up, though.
Okay. They ain't been stabbed deep enough, I guess.
Yeah, I believe some brothers, and this is what the problem is that they still have it that they have to protect the home. That just I made a brace with God that this was going to be my wife. This is my, you know, we were going to live happily ever after. She was going to be the mother of my kids, all that. And now it's been broken. This unity has been broken.
Yeah, but see, if they're Christians and stand on the word, then they also need to know the full word of God. Okay, and the full word of God tells you, okay, if they want to go, let them go. You are called to peace. You're not called to live and have her shacking up with some other dude and him gunslinging and you out tree boxing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're going to be standing outside the window, you know, watching the lights flick as he's moaning and groaning and banging on your woman. That ain't going to work. Now, you know, I'm telling you, you know, if she's bold enough to make that move, it's one thing if she says, this marriage ain't, you know, isn't working, we're having problems, I'm going to move in with my sister for a while. That's a different move, man. But if she's bold enough to move out and move in with some other gunslinger.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, not only is she leaving, she's punking you. And she's daring you to do something. Okay, that is a move of I'm going to punk you. I don't respect you, and I'm going to punk you.
Wow.
Okay, you know, that's what that move is. Can you think of any other way than that is? I mean, if she moved out with her girlfriend or her sister and she was sneaking out, seeing a dude on the side, and you busted her, that's one thing. But she punk moved in with another gunslinger and her kids.
And you paying the note on the joint.
That's just painful. I'm just going to be honest with you. That's just painful. I mean,
I'm telling you, brother needs a good lawyer, and he needs some good friends to keep him from killing her or him.
Well, that's the whole point, man. I mean, a lot of these guys get to the point where they can't think straight. They love this person
that's right.
so much.
And you need to get that brother on the phone call with some brothers that have been down this road, okay? Because Satan tried to take me out. He tried to take me out right there.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm going to tell you, I would have killed him. If God had not stepped in, I was at a point of rage that was beyond anything I'd ever experienced in my life. And I always had a rough temper. I almost killed a few people. But this, you know, I mean, to be blamed, I was blamed and called all kind of names, and then, you know, and then to find out not only, you know, you're doing this, but you know what, you out doing the dirt and got gunslinger up in the house, I'm paying for. Driving my BMW. You have lost your MF in mind.
Wow.
Somebody's got to die.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I shouldn't be agreeing to that, but I understand.
You know, and I know that don't sound Christian, but I'm going to tell you. I mean, I made it when dude opened the door, you know, and I cleaned it up. You know, I wasn't saying, fine gentlemen, would you like to come out and talk? Y'all can put your own words into it.
Yeah.
You know, he tried to sneak out the back, and I almost took the sliding glass door off the hinges. You
can
know,
I was
240 pounds of upset Negro, and somebody was going to have to die.
I mean,
I know that sounds terrible, as I'm telling y'all, but I'm telling you, I was beyond even, your brain can't even think.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. Yes, go ahead.
How does a woman get to that point?
Where she wants to begin cheating?
Well, I mean, most cases, because we don't really marry women. I mean, I don't want to sit here and believe that we marry women that are just out to sleep with you and someone else.
No.
And we all know about a woman scorn, and Andrew admitted that he had done it too.
Yep.
Okay, and in my last marriage, I did it, then she did it. So it was a reaction to my action, you know. The issue is we take it harder than they take it.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Because they are set up for that going in.
Yeah.
Because of people that they've dated before, men or dogs, whatever the case may be, we conquer and destroy. You know how we do it. They're not really set up that way. So when they do it, it hurts us to the core.
See, it hurts our pride.
It hurts our pride, exactly. But, you know, again, sometimes it's self-inflicted. And when it
my ex-wife, she was my wife at the time, this was a payback deal. And she stood in front of me and she said, I'm going to destroy you.
I think that's what they want to do.
That's right. And she knew, you know, and she knew, and this dude, I mean, this was a dope-smoking, you know, Rastafarian nothing, okay? I mean, you know what I mean? And you know, my wife, you know, I was providing all kind of stuff, diamonds and furs and trips and cars, and I looked at her, she's like, you know, I'm going to leave you for nothing because you ain't nothing. You worse than nothing.
Yeah, but look, again, and I understand that. Trust me, I'm with you. But we open the door for the next man to come in.
That's right. Oh, there's no doubt.
We open the door and give him our set of keys.
That's right.
And then we get mad when he is actually utilizing those set of keys.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, I shouldn't have been upset with him. He was just getting some snatch.
Exactly.
I mean, I've been there.
He was invited in.
Right. You know, wow. I should have been upset with him. I should have been upset with her. But, I mean, you know, I was just, you know, as a man, you know, you'd be like, okay, so you taking my woman. You got to die.
Yeah.
T-Hawk, you basically saying that the doorbell rings and it's old boy. And the man is basically like, come on in, brother. I mean, the head of household, you know, answers the door and like and actually lets him in the house.
Yes. You know, the worst thing, I'm going to tell you what. I think Chris Rock did this. He'd be like,
I was thinking about that.
I'm telling you, because in retrospect, that's exactly right. You know, Tony, we get caught doing the dirt. And they're like, that's it. I'm done. Get out.
Yep.
And you're heading out the door. And it's about you're about to head out the door to go, wait a minute. We can work it out. Okay.
And you better keep going.
Okay. You need to keep on stepping. We can work it out means I'm going to beat your ass for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Oh.
Excuse my language. I'm sorry. That's what we can work it out means.
Yeah.
Okay. When it goes down and you hurt her like that, man, keep stepping.
Yeah.
Trust me. That don't sound like.
It works on both sides, Andrew.
What'd you say?
It works on both sides.
That's right.
Sometimes women will, your wife will open the door and let the next woman come on right on in.
That's right.
Come on in. Wide open.
But what if, you know, y'all are talking about firsthand experiences where it was reactionary. But what about the case where, you know, she doesn't? Or you don't, you know, there's no infidelity on your part, and she does the dirt first. You know, what about that?
Yeah, that's the thing. And what if she just does the dirt? How do you take that? That's something different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that comes from a different ballpark.
Yeah.
You haven't done anything, but she's out there doing it.
You don't take it.
I'm just telling you, you know, with the situation that you explained, now, you know, maybe, you know, she was out on a conference and something happened. That might be something we can figure out a way and time to work through. But she done took the kids and moved in with Gunslinger?
Mm.
But
ain't no coming back from that, man.
You know, I tried to stay out of the business, you know. But my wife was telling me, you know, it's been street knowledge years before it's gotten to this point.
So he was just turning a blind eye.
He was turning a blind eye, not knowing. But the folks at the beauty parlor.
Hey, but
yeah.
Please,
yeah.
You don't want to get too in detail of a man's stuff, man. Not too detailed.
Okay.
True that.
I really think when a woman gets to that point, she just has lost all respect for her husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You see, that's a move of disrespect.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, that's what that is. That is a move of straight up disrespect. And for a man, there's no coming back from that one. You see, because that's how we receive love, is through respect and honor.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you take the step of moving in with Gunslinger and moving my kids in with him, he's a stronger brother than me, man.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I'd have been busting the door down. I'm serious.
Well, that's the problem, man.
I'd call my boys. I'd be like, dude, this is the deal. Let's roll.
Right. Yeah,
and we would have gone straight back to New York. You know what I'm talking about, Tony?
Uh-huh.
I mean, but that's the problem.
Kicking the door, waving the 4-4.
You got your boys in the house. You got your kids in the house. Do you do that with your kids right there?
Man, I'm gonna tell you what. Me and a few of my boys that still be packing. Trust me when I tell you, the situation would have been handled.
Yeah, but how did it get to that point? I gotta ask that question again. Asking that question because I don't understand. Now, if you marry somebody that still got some carbon in them, they still got those single friends. They didn't realize they got married. They still want to live, you know, the happy life and, you know, or the double life, you know, then the same on you. You know what I'm saying? But it happens. But what happens when you when she's totally dissatisfied, there's something wrong, or you're totally dissatisfied, and then, you know, somebody else just steals your heart away. What happened?
Yeah, but to move in with another gunslinger.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a move there, bro.
That
is like sticking it in your face.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Just moving out with my kids is just like sticking it in my face. I mean,
yes, it is. Okay, but you know, hey, you know, that's a tough deal. But to move in with gunslinger,
yeah, I can understand.
How could you sleep at night? How could you sleep at night? How could she even sleep at night? Because the reason she could sleep at night because she think you're a stone cold punk. That's how she sleeps at night, because she'd be like that nigga. Oh, she'd be like.
Keep it clean.
She'd be like, oh, he ain't going to do nothing. You ain't got to worry about him. Let's go to sleep, man.
Yeah, because.
Is that the call, Tony?
Yeah, that is the call. Is
Tony gone?
I'm right here. I'm
hey,
right
Tony,
here.
That's the call. She done stole cold punks you, didn't she?
Well, I mean, yeah.
Can you see any other way?
I mean, but, you know, again, there's always a reaction to an action.
I don't care if it's a reaction or not. If she could leave you and go shack up with another Negro and take your kids and she could think she could sleep comfortably at night, she's telling this other brother, you ain't got to worry about him because he's a punk.
Now, I have to say, I mean, we've heard it on the call before where, you know, the guy he's tried his best to get his wife back. The kids are seeing it. They're looking at dad different. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but, you know, the man, his wife was cheating. He tried to reconcile the marriage. And they tried, and it just didn't work because it could get. I don't know.
Whatever happened to that brother?
It's a double standard, right? It's a double standard.
His wife wanted to go down and
it's got to be a double standard.
Huh?
It's got to be a double standard because for me, listen, if I hit a brick wall in my marriage, I may be with that next chick. I'm just saying. I mean, let's keep it real. Some of us would probably do this. I mean, you hit that brick wall, and we can't judge someone else's brick wall.
No, man, but you ain't going to move with you and your kids and her kids and move in with some other honey.
Okay, but guess what? What if it was an abusive marriage that we don't
know
about?
What if it was what?
An abusive marriage that we don't know about.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like safety reasons that she just had to go.
You don't safety reason move in with another gunslinger. You safety reason move in with your sister.
Your
safety reason move out of town so he can't find you.
Yeah.
Okay, if it's a safety reason and you moving in with some other gunslinger with your kids, You first of all, you were a stone cold nut. He's putting his hands on you already, and you were pushing him.
Yeah.
What?
Hey, listen,
hold on. But Andrew, let's be honest about this now. Men do it all the time. That's
you
what
and I'm on this.
Okay.
Men move in with their mistress because they done got kicked out and got nowhere else to go all the time.
That's right.
That's what we
That's
talk
right.
about all the time.
Okay, so if he decided that he was going to move out and take his kids and move in with another woman. See, that's the situation you put at hand. Okay, I'd be like, leave my kids.
I got an older cousin. I got an older cousin, and Peter, you probably knew. You know what I'm saying? She walked in on her husband cheating on her.
Yeah.
In the same bed. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Kicked him out, so he had no choice but to go to the mistress. You understand?
I remember. It was
there. It is.
But did he take his kids?
No, he tried.
Okay. Well, she stole, took the kids and moved in with another Negro.
Yeah. But
and
what
said,
I'm saying, yeah, but
you.
Again, we don't know.
That was the situation posed at hand.
Hold
on. She Stone left him, took the kids, and moved in with the dude she'd been sleeping with.
Yeah, but hold on. We have to rewind.
Gotta rewind.
Yeah, T-Hawk said something about, you know, that we don't know, because the reality is this doesn't happen overnight. You know, you don't just have a falling out and then, you know, she's packing up, you know, her clothes and the kids and she's over at old boy's house. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. And
hey, Rodney, say it again. We hear about it. We hear about the problem when she started sleeping around. We didn't hear about the problem all the nights that there was issues that she was having, and or whatever it is, the arguments, the fights, the this, the that. We don't hear about that. We hear about the fact, now she's a twin.
Yeah.
Right.
And what I was pointing to is that we did a show on warning signs, you know, many, many moons ago. And
I remember that.
Yeah, you remember that, B. I remember that. And the reality is, like T-Hawk said, it's like, it's not that we don't know. We do know is that we neglect those warning signs. And then, you know, next thing you find out, you know, she's up at old boy's house with the kids and got a, you know, a whole new residence and all this other stuff. You know, that stuff don't happen just like that.
That's right. It doesn't. But that move is a disrespect move.
Yeah, but
that's not a disrespect move, but that's a disrespect move to me. That you're going to get up and take my kids and move in with some other Negro?
But all of it is disrespectful.
Yep, exactly. See,
like, I give you a prime example. You know, a superstar or somebody that's name is household and everybody house that be on TV, you know, is evicted or convicted of, you know, slapping his wife. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, Manny Rodriguez or something like that.
Manny Rodriguez just did it last night.
Okay, so we're looking at it on one side, but we don't know what happened inside that house. You don't know what caused him to do that. I ain't saying that he's a bad person. I ain't saying that he's a good person. We don't know. But how do you know that she ain't pushed the right buttons to make him do that? And being that she knows the right buttons to push, she did it anyway so she could get that rise out of him. You understand what I'm saying? It's all about motive. What's your motive of doing things and what's causing, you know, these marriages are causing your wife to go cheat? You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah, but BJ, you said something very, very good just a second ago. Women know how to push your buttons. They know so well.
They know
how to push your buttons. They'll do anything shiesty if they're that mean and decisive and will ruin you. And one of the ways they know if you're a strong brother and it doesn't take you much, but you don't get truly upset and you're able to reconcile and let things go, is they'll go to that step where they know they'll hit you right there in the gut and it will hurt forever.
What's the benefit to that? But what's the benefit to that? How's that going to help them?
Because when they get to that point, all they want to do is hurt you.
Exactly. Because they feel some sort of way. Rather it be that her intentions were good, or she wanted something to happen and it didn't happen, or she wanted things ran her way, or whatever the case may be, and she ain't getting it, or he ain't listening, so she's gonna do whatever to make him listen. Period. Play. Regardless of what the extremity is or how far it goes, she knows how to push them buttons.
Well, maybe she'll do anything to get that attention.
Right. And y'all talking about buttons. It's only one button that we're talking about here, the ultimate button, you know, that one where she knows she can go to. And she'll get your attention then. You know, when old boy is, you know, up in your bed, she'll get your attention then, because when she told you that you weren't, you know, doing the things you used to do and you don't compliment me anymore, you don't bring me flowers, you know, you were like, whatever. I mean, she told you, and then it gets to a point where she was like, yeah, she know you coming home at a certain time and she laid up with old boy and don't even care.
That's right.
Hey Rodney, and I will tell you this. And I understand. Believe me, I understand what you're saying. But be woman enough to end this one before you start another one.
Well, I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
agree.
They don't know how to do it. If they never have done that before, if a woman has never left a relationship before,
But what is that old adage? It's nothing like a woman scorned. Now, when you met her, you know, she may have been, you know, in that frame of mind that if you ever cheated on her, you know, whatever, that she would end y'all's relationship and then, you know, wait to start another. But that's a different thing when you're talking about a woman scorn. That's a whole different ballgame. They're like, oh, okay, all right, you want to do me that way? Okay. I mean, it's a different ballgame.
Wait. Are we still talking about the woman that cheated when the man didn't? Are we talking about the woman that cheated as a reaction to the man cheating?
No, I'm still talking about the woman cheating and the man didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay. Go ahead, Rodney. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, in that case, like I was saying, is that it's, I mean, literally, I'm just tied up with the whole warning signs, is that it doesn't, you know, just going back to what I said earlier, it doesn't evolve to that point unless it was like a series of, you know, missteps or neglect or whatever. That's how it gets to that point. And that's how we have to go back. We have to track back. And like you said, T-Hawk, is that we invite that situation to happen. You know, if because we, bottom line, we didn't marry the one that we hit on the first night or whatever the case may be. So we know that she's marriage material, you know, as we say. So she wouldn't do that, you know, just to do that. So, I mean, the whole point about it is that there's some series of steps that happen, and we have to track back and be like, what was she saying about me not, you know, paying her attention or, you know, doing whatever, or rubbing her feet, or whatever it is that you used to do that you're not doing, and, you know, we're being neglectful. And that's how we invite that other dude in.
So what you're saying, Rodney, is that when that situation happens, that we should reflect on us and try to get a better understanding of why she's up with Gunslinger.
Absolutely.
Yep.
You know,
absolutely.
And you know why? You know why I say that? Because y'all brothers, and you especially, Andrew, is that you're not neglectful now. We were just talking earlier about how your wife wanted a refrigerator, and she saw it, and you just wanted to make her happy. Now, she didn't really want it, like, you know, she wasn't really talking about the refrigerator, like, oh, I got to have that refrigerator, whatever. But that's an example of you learned before that you made some mistakes in that previous relationship that you know that you're not going to do in this relationship, you know. So, I mean, that you did reflect and like, yeah, I made some mistakes here. I won't do that in this relationship.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true. But when you're confronted with the situation at hand, that he said she done walked out, took the kids, and moved in with Gunslinger, you ain't thinking about that. You're thinking about,
right.
She
right.
took my kids, and she's screwing some other dude.
True that.
Somebody's got to die.
Yeah, I mean that's
right.
How you think at the time. But
that's how you
right.
think
that
at the
also,
time.
Andrew.
Now, 10 years later, you go, you know what? You know, if God blesses me and the creek don't rise and I get married again, things are going to be different. But in the heat
okay.
of the battle, when she then walked out and took your Mercedes and your Beamer, your money and your kids and sleep with Gunslinger in his house, you don't think like that. Well, maybe you do. I don't.
Well, I mean,
okay,
I,
but Andrew,
yes.
Just like you said, and the way it went down when you went, an old boy was in that house, and you wanted to cause bodily harm to him. You
I didn't want to cause bodily harm to him. I wanted to kill him.
Understood.
Just
wait. Now listen. You did it. The police came, right? And at
right.
some point, you said you broke down in the middle of the street.
That's right.
Now, when you broke down, it was one of the thoughts in your mind, how did I let it get to this point?
Wow.
Oh.
Wow.
I think what the thoughts were, I mean, you know, at the time I wasn't thinking. I was just distraught. So I wasn't really thinking. When I finally, you know, got to a place and got back to my house and sat down and, you know, loaded and unloaded the gun, loaded and unloaded the gun, you know, several times thinking about, I'm going to go take care of this, you know. Then I started thinking, how could I have gotten to the point that, you know, that I'd be willing to do the things I was thinking about doing, and, you know, how bad did I have to be for her to be that way?
Okay, good, good. Okay, and then the backup question is, do you believe that if you had not cheated, that this entire incident may not have happened?
No, it wouldn't have.
Okay.
Well, I can't say, I can't say 100%. It wouldn't have, from what I've seen. In retrospect, I looked at a lot of things because my marriage was not a marriage in heaven. Matter of fact, she did the same exact thing to her previous husband. And it was crazy, crazy stuff. I'm not going to go into all that. And when he cheated, she turned around and did the same thing. I mean, this is a pattern.
But you just said something. What if patterns happen? Maybe that was her way out of another relationship.
Not even that. Now, I'm thinking another way on this. What if, this is just a theory of mine, you know what I'm saying? Most women, pretty much all women, in my opinion, have a dream or a thought of being married more than men.
Yep.
Yep. And if it doesn't match her dream, and she sees that there's no, I'm driving right now, so forgive me. If she sees that there's no progress into that goal that she has in her mind, then she'll do whatever it takes to get to that, if that means another person or another man in her life. So if she has to go through the rigors, and think about it like this, the law is on the women's side. So regardless if she's cheating or not, he still gonna end up paying alimony, child support, probably got to give up the house, couple cars, whatever the case may be. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
Self-preservation.
Yep.
It is.
I'm going to tell you this.
I really think that some women, and they don't never tell nobody what they really think. They'll put some kind of bull jive excuse on it and let it be done, and the law will believe that. But I really truly think that whatever's in her mind to think about what a marriage is, if that man who she married hasn't met that qualification or hasn't met that goal or is not progressing the way that she wants it, she will get out of that wrong relationship, period.
Yep, I agree with that.
I'm going to say this. I've known some scandalous women, okay? And I've been with a few of them, and I know how they roll. My first wife was not one of them. She was not a cheater at all. I never had issues for a long time, even thinking about any kind of infidelity, right? But my lifestyle included me cheating. I mean, it is what it is. I put her back on the block. You see what I'm saying? My actions put her back on the block while she was married. Mm-hmm. Because I know that it wasn't her marriage picture to be married and having an affair. Because that's just not who she was.
Now, Tony, if she had left you and moved in with another gunslinger, what would your reaction have been?
But we still stuck there. But we got to get past that point. We got to get to the part prior to that. And if she did leave me and went to the next gunslinger, I would have had no defense.
What's a gunslinger? You know?
Gunslinger.
Another dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Mr. Woodcock.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have had no defense. I would have to humbly go knock on the door and be like, I apologize for what I did. How can we fix this? I understand what you're doing, but how can we fix this? That's if I wanted her back. But for me, that's a deal breaker regardless, even if I did it. It's a deal breaker. Sorry.
I'm a little confused as to how we keep looking over the obvious. And the obvious in my mind is, how did we pick these so-called we pick these women that basically want to just go eye for an eye on type of thing? You know, were we not at the state of being Christian men, or what type of woman is that we're talking about? I drove you to this. You are accountable for your own actions.
See,
nobody drives you to anything.
Come on, man.
Yeah, right,
you know how we get caught up. You know that.
We talk about this a lot of times on the call, and when we talk about us as men, we talk about being accountable for our actions. So all I'm saying is how is it that we have forgotten that these women are accountable for their own
actions? That's
true. But if you listen to you, I mean, you're going to do something to me. You handle it correctly, because we said it, and I know that they may be the weaker vessel, and it might not be necessarily the way that they would handle it, and we should make – but again, this is what I've always said. I feel frustrated at points that we got to make excuses for them. If you're going to be over here, and in one aspect, you're expecting or would like to be treated this way, then it's the same thing on the flip side.
Hey, Tony, I agree with you. What would you do tomorrow morning if you woke up and your wife moved in with gunslinger and took your kids?
Hey, can I ask a question here?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just asked a question.
What would you do? In this situation, I'm going to be honest with you, I'd probably do my very best to keep my wits about me. It would probably stem from me making a couple calls to people to keep my wits about me, but it wouldn't be me getting out there trying to, because I can't do anything if I'm locked up or I'm dead. So I don't help my kids. I don't do any of those things that half the people on the call are talking about. I want the kids to be with me, and she's messed up, and blah, blah, blah. I can't do that if I react. We've talked about this a thousand times. It's about responding. And what I'm trying to say is, how can we justify and make these excuses for these women and I drove her to this? That's BS.
Let the other guy get the question in. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, get the question out.
All right, so I'm late to this conversation. But are we really asking the question how you choose a woman for cheating on you after you cheated on her? Did I understand that correctly?
I'm sorry, say that again.
It seemed like the guy was asking the question how we ended up choosing a woman who would cheat on us after we cheated on them.
Correct, and I think that's honestly what it comes down to, because with us being, you know, and I understand that for a lot of men on the call, they weren't necessarily at that Christian male stance that they needed to be in order to be able to recognize a woman that would be in their life. But one gentleman said that he did have a self-proclaimed Christian, and she was about these things and all this stuff. So it's like, how in the world would you be with somebody, or would you, or how did we fall victim to having a whirlpool over our eyes to accept somebody and believe in them if this is really who they are?
Here's the answer, and I said this before, and as T-Hawk just stated with his first wife, she was not out there, you know, am I right, T-Hawk? If you didn't cheat, you probably could almost guarantee that she would have never cheated. Am I correct?
She wouldn't have.
Exactly. And what I said earlier, what I guess y'all missed, is two different things. I don't care if Christian or not. It's two different things between the woman you married and when that woman you marry is scorned. That's like the poltergeist. You know, so I think that what you got to realize is that, yes, and what it's about, to answer your question deeper, it's a maturity. Because, no, not all women, you know, go tit for tat. I'm not going to put that and generalize all the entire female species. There are some women say, you know what, you cheated, and we can't be together anymore. This marriage is over. As Andrew said earlier, I'm going to get a good divorce lawyer, and they go through the divorce process. And then when that's completed, then they start dating again. Now, there are women that actually go forth and do that. But there are also women that say, oh, you going to do me dirty? You just wait. I've been looking at your friend, you know, and I know what time you come home from work in the evening. So I'm going to call Craig, have him come over, and I'm going to have you walk in on us. And what I'm saying is that it's a difference between a woman and a woman scorned. It's night and day.
I agree with you.
The words.
You can't see that. Unless you put her in that situation and she's hurt like that.
And watch this, Andrew. We're the same way. You know, we call ourselves upstanding men, head of households. Guess what? You find in the bed with Craig tomorrow, what you going to do? You be like, yeah, I've been looking at your friend. You're going to go tit for tat. So don't put it like it's only on the women, you know, that we couldn't flip out. And, you know, don't get it twisted, you know, that we're just going to, well, I'm going to get a divorce lawyer, and this is over.
No,
we're going to go tit for tat, some of us, you know. So don't, you know, it goes both ways.
I don't necessarily know if we're going to go, all of us are going in that direction. Now, I might try to crush her in some other ways, meaning that now you would put yourself in a situation, if it wasn't me, if I had done nothing of you correctly, I might try to take everything you own, meaning the kids and everything. But that doesn't mean I'm going to get out there and go at it that aggressively to really do something. You won't get somebody back like that. That's the wrong way. You know,
it's wrong.
And I understand it's wrong, and I understand that even though it's wrong, some people make the decision. But that just seems to me like it's something that we missed then along the way. And we, again, have to make an excuse and say there's a difference between a woman and a woman scorned. I mean, that's like saying there's a difference between a man and a man that doesn't have a job. I mean, you're still a man. You still have to be able to carry yourself with the integrity, the character, the self-esteem, the confidence, and all the other things necessary in order to make choices. And the difficult part that I'm struggling with is, and I've said it many times, I struggle with the fact that we continue to make excuses for them and make it seem like we drove them to this.
Hold on. I got to stop you there. Hold on, T.R. Hold on, T.R.
I got to hear the new guy.
Hold on. I got to stop him right there. Because the story that Andrew told to open this thing up, he almost killed a man. So, you know, we talk about how we'll do this and do that, but literally, he had an opportunity. He said literally somebody was going to die that day. You know, literally, and thank God it didn't work out that way. But you don't know. You can say how you're going to react, you know, and same thing for your wife, you know, how she should react or whatever. But that's not, when you're in that situation, you don't know how you're going to react.
When you're in that situation, you can't even think.
Exactly.
No,
listen, if Andrew had found the rock, we might not even be talking to Andrew right on this phone tonight.
I know there was a call where we all have our thoughts on this. We all know what we would do if we got caught up in this situation. But one of the people I know, one of my friends, he walked upstairs in his home. He thought he'd come home and surprise the wife. And right there, her butt's up in the air.
Mm-mm-mm.
Right? And you would think right then, man looks at him, keeps going, that he would jump on him, his own problem. But he was so much in shock that he shut the door, went downstairs, and started crying.
Mm-hmm.
And the man looked at him, walked out the house, shook his head.
Yeah, well, that's crazy.
That, you think that's crazy, but your heart, you never know how your heart feels if you get caught up in that situation. The first thing I'm going to do is jump on you. Or I'm going to take, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get this camera on my camera phone. Go on finish, dog, because I'm getting ready to go send this to the lawyer.
You know what I mean?
Then I'm going to whoop your tail because I'm going to let you sit there because I can't get to the other side of my bed because the way it is, my drawer is on the other side. I can't get to the side of my bed because if I do, you're going to be out duck.
Mm-hmm.
So if I leave, you're going to have to come out this door one time before you got to come my way.
But
and when you
saying,
do, it's going to happen.
But what
it's
you're saying,
happen.
Mr. Host, is that you don't know how you're going to react. You may have an idea in your mind.
You have an idea in your head.
If that happens, that what you're going to do and you're going to go and you're going to cap him, you know, and I'm right in your bed or whatever, you have all this. You don't know what you're going to do until
you're
in the situation. And like Andrew said, you don't even know right from left. And the thing is that had things played out differently, Andrew could have killed the man, and the man had been dead, and he'd have been like, "What have I just done?" At that point, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It'll happen so fast. If the rock that he was looking for to bust the wind out was right there, sitting, you know, across the street, or if he had access to it, but it would have been a different situation, and then he would have been like, "What have I just done?" After the fact.
Yep.
Okay, I got one.
Hold on. Please, real quick. I want to speak to Peyton's question.
Go ahead.
It may not be a revenge thing, because I know that we are talking about going to get revenge or whatever, and he said that that's necessarily not the right thing to do. But when you find out that you've been doing all the right things, you haven't cheated on your wife, and then she has, okay? And then you go back to work the next week or whatever, and that chick that's been trying to get at you, that you've been telling her all along, look, I'm married.
Yo.
What's the purpose at that point to continue being faithful at that point?
Say that.
Well, the point is, what's the
purpose?
And if that's the case, then why would I want
to sit there?
If that's the case, I'm going to be honest with you, that's the answer that I've probably been way back 2 years ago would have wanted y'all to all tell me. But now being on the call for 2 years, I know that's not the answer that y'all would want to tell me.
know that's not that I want to tell you, brother, because there's no more saying I'm married because there's no sex. It's been broken. I've been violated. She done cheated on me, and I've been all along fighting these women off. I've been doing the right thing. I've been faithful, and then she just sold the farm. Okay,
but
now there's no longer any more reason for me to be that guy.
But yes, it is, Tom. It is.
Okay.
I mean, you got to be honest. You still got to be the bigger man.
Right. Oh. And more importantly, you're still married.
You're still married, and if you follow your Christian faith and you follow the Bible, the Bible says if your wife commits adultery, you have the right to leave her, but you should not be looking outside
the
home.
Yeah, that is
the
textbook answer.
I'm not asking for the textbook answer. We all know the textbook answer. Talk the reality here.
Oh, hold on. Somebody got a question. Go ahead, brother.
How y'all doing, fellas?
Welcome, brother. Go ahead. Speak on it, brother.
I kind of came in on a little bit on the end, but I got a question. And this for all the fellas, because, you know, I've never been in this situation, but I've had a friend that was in this situation before. Why is it that our first thought pattern is break the guy's neck?
But thank you. Thanks. Here's my philosophy.
My philosophy.
Well, I'm going to tell you because I've been there, and I'm going to tell you, it doesn't make sense because if anybody's neck should be broken, it should be the wife, okay?
Yeah.
But it's like, here's the thing. I mean, you walking down the street, and some dude is trying to get with your wife, okay? Your first reaction is to beat him down. Okay, you're mad at somebody. Now, you should be mad at her because she's breaking the covenant. He's just out there tapping and getting a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
No, wait a minute.
If you're going to beat somebody down, if that's your thing, it should be her. It should have been my ex-wife I should have beat down. But I'm just telling you at the flick of the moment, when I looked at it was like, I have lost everything and you're the reason.
Right. Yeah, I mean, looking at it from different standpoint, if the man is in your house, yeah, he deserves everything he gets because I guarantee you got pictures up of you in your house.
Right.
But you know, if he at his house or at a hotel somewhere, she allowed everything to happen.
I'm going to take it a step further and say if it's in your house, she allowed everything to happen because she had to let him in.
So if it's in your house, it's okay to beat him down.
Even though she let him in there, it was still proof there that she wasn't single.
But what you're saying is, if it's in your house, it's okay to beat him down.
Oh, yeah.
you brought up a good point. And I'm going to just be honest. I'm going to be honest. The reason why we go after the man, because we are men, and that men, when we have another man in our territory, we have to defend our territory.
Yep.
We don't go after the women because, one, for some reason, even though they disrespect us, that's still a woman.
Exactly.
And respect womanhood, a real man still respects womanhood by not putting his hands on her right at that moment. And he looks at this man who stepped into his home, into his castle, and trying to dethrone his castle. And the man's responsibility is always to protect the home.
Well, I mean,
he's a threat if he's in your home.
But
can
like I say, if he come up in my home, I'm going to introduce Jesus to him.
Now, Rob, what about him on the other cheek?
That's right. Tell him, Andrew.
If he in my house.
What you're saying is, if he's in your house wailing on your woman, you're not going to turn the other cheek?
No, I
can't. Well, first of all, the man who was banging your wife, and he's up in y'all home.
Go ahead.
If he can't notice that this woman still has a man around, then there's something wrong with him. He don't care. He's after the behind. You understand the thing?
times where you can, like someone just said, turn another cheek, because you may not know the guy, you may not know the whole situation. But a lot of times when that happens, it's somebody that's been around you, been around your family, been around your wife, been up under your nose the whole time, and end up banging your wife. He deserves a beat down on sight. On sight. Furniture moving, the whole nine yards, just like Andrew said, you got to handle your business at that point. Because you know I'm married. You know that's my wife. You done shook my hand. You done been to the family reunions. You've been hanging around me. And, you know, the weakest point, you done moved in for the kill. Sometimes, and most times, that is the guy we're talking about, the guy that we already know.
And it's like what they say with murders is that, you know, most of the 80% of murders are committed by the person that someone knows.
Somebody you let in the door. There was no forced entry.
Right.
Ooh.
There you go.
That's a
no forced entry. That's deep right there. No forced entry.
I didn't have to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I mean, if it's somebody that knows you, that's just purity. I don't care who you are. There's no respect whatsoever for you as a man. Period.
Period.
So, you know, you won't have to. I'm sorry, I got to handle my business and ask God for forgiveness later. But if the individual don't know you, and you don't know that individual, then I'm looking at the woman.
Yeah,
because if it was just a creep, and she got caught up, and he got caught up, and okay, wait a minute, I see. So you got to ask some questions why you let yourself get in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a friend of the family,
or neighbor,
he ain't got to worry about nothing.
But listen, fellas, I got to put this on the recording. You know, on this call, we are not promoting violence. But we understand.
We understand.
But, I mean, let's just be honest. Are we doing ourselves any favor by accept getting the release of aggression off when we take that initiative to beat this man down?
Oh, yeah, it would feel great.
At the present time, yep.
So what happens, and let's just put it out there, it's almost 10:30, and I'm going to go ahead and put my little monkey wrench out there now.
Uh-oh.
Okay? All right? Does it make it worse if you catch your wife giving oral sex to a guy?
Oh, God! Man, you gonna get them guys to hang up the phone, man.
I'm just being honest, because to me, that's worse. To me, that's the ultimate disrespect.
Wow.
You know, if I'm only getting it on birthdays and anniversaries, and this man can come in my house.
Wow.
And get it whenever he wants to. That's worse than having sex with my wife. That's just the personal belief. I just want to see
it. Mr. Host, you
believe,
man,
that same concept goes with them.
Mr. Host,
what?
Man,
I'm just saying.
You just shut them down right there, man. Ain't got nothing to say with that.
Hey, you got that right, because we've been trying to get it to go down on us for how long?
See, I'm putting you in the same category with Rodney. Now I'm gonna have to take the microphone away from you.
Hey, we in the adult hour now, bro. It's too late now. You know, it's the adult hour after 10, you know.
This is the adult hour.
Would it be
hour.
Different if she was giving him a holler?
I don't know. I just feel, me personally, that is worse than having sex with another man. That's the ultimate.
Would you turn the other cheek?
Now,
oh my.
That would be one that I swear I would have to. I need Jesus at that moment.
That's the truth. I'm
not
even going to lie.
And
I told you
right
the story.
Just thinking about it.
That was the point I was at. I needed Jesus at that moment. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. Okay? I was thinking about somebody's got to die, and it's going to be him. I didn't care if I died, but he was going to die. Now, I didn't know I needed Jesus at that point. I wasn't thinking about Jesus. I was thinking about, you have to die. You have been banging my wife in the house that I'm paying for, you have to die. There was no, oh, Jesus, come help me. I didn't need Jesus. I need to rip his natural born behind. Now, Jesus stepped in, and it was a point of my need because at that point I was at a crossroads in my life. If I had gotten my hands on him, you know, I would still be in jail. And right. The things that God had planned for me would never come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus at that point stepped in and verbally spoke to me.
Wow. And you said that's the only time he spoke to you?
Only time I've ever heard Jesus. Now, I've had him speak in my spirit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, verbally speak to me. And I'm talking about can you imagine you? I told y'all the situation. You walk in, you are not in some kind of calm state. Oh, well, some of y'all, Rodney would be cool. But my boy Tony. Tony, you know what I'm saying, right?
Oh,
somebody's
man.
Got to die. I mean, you got to understand, man, me and Tony, we come from the same spot. Somebody's got to die. I mean, there's no negotiating. There's no thinking about, oh, well, what should I do? You walk in that situation, somebody's got to die.
I mean, negotiate for what?
There's no negotiation with that.
The only negotiation.
You have violated me, and you have disrespected me, and you have to die. One of us is going to die. I'm ready to die.
I think, Mr. Host, I don't think anybody answered your question. Could you restate it? Because I don't think anybody answered your question.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say. I mean, you know.
You talking about the BJ question?
Yeah. Nobody answered.
Nobody answered. I think that was the answer. But I'm going to put it out there one more time. Would it be worse to find your wife just cheating on you, find her an act, or giving a man oral sex? To me, the worst is oral sex. I'm going to put it out there for anybody else to answer that question.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Y'all let me know.
It's hard for us to handle what I'm about to say.
Uh-oh.
It's hard for us to handle, okay? In the beginning of our relationship, oral sex was not an issue. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty much?
Was not an issue. Was not an issue.
Okay. Now, some of us will argue that now it may be a little bit of an issue, which was cool. So the beginning of her relationship with the new guy, oral sex is not going to be an issue.
Wow. That's deep, brother. Say that again.
It's deep. It's a fact.
Good.
They're going to lay it out for them. They're going to lay it out for them. They ain't laying it out for you, but they're going to lay it out for him. So it's a high probability that the next brother is getting that knee dirty that you used to get.
That's what I was going to, honestly, that's what I was going to say. The reason I was so quiet is because, I mean, whether I walk in on her having sex or dumbing another dude off, I'm assuming she did both regardless. So neither or really matters.
Uh-oh, somebody's phone is.
Oh, no, we're good now. We're good now.
Okay.
Go ahead, brother.
I was just saying, I totally concur with what the gentleman just said. I mean, I'd say if she's having sex with him, she's already done domed him off. So you might as well just assume the worst, because most likely it happened. So they're both gut. I mean, they're both gut punches to me. So yeah, I can't tell you how I would react. I just don't
turn the other cheek.
No, he be in jail. I know him. He be in jail.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Here's the next question. We found out it's happened. We've gone through the bail bondsman. Gone through the lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's the day after.
Mm. Wow.
What happened? What's the communications the day after? Because now you got to sit down and talk about it.
You talking about with her?
Yes.
Andrew, at the lawyers.
Because a lot of men, I mean, the lawyers is always the last resort. Let's be honest. I mean, the lawyers is always the last resort. We're not going to leave directly from the house, seeing our wife cheat, going straight to the lawyer. A lot of us are trying to figure out why. That why, you know. A lot of us sleep with our wives, not have sex, but sleep with our wives that night or the night after.
Yeah, and I think that's a big point, Mr. Host. We got to go back just to find out why.
Yeah.
I mean, just to get some sort of closure. And granted, you won't get it all, the day after. Definitely not. I doubt you would get it all. But we would, you know, go back and try to get some closure and probably some of us would make steps to reconcile, as T-Hawk was saying earlier, you know, in his situation it was retroactive, but, you know, he's basically saying, you know, it's conciliatory to say, hey, I did my dirt, you did your dirt, but let's work it out. You know what I mean? I mean, so that day after, you're right, Mr. Jose. We wouldn't be, you know, in the yellow pages on the internet or whatever, calling a divorce lawyer right away. We got to get some closure, you know, with her, and then, you know, divorce proceedings may happen after that. But that's not the initial phone call, you know?
That's true.
I believe it, but is closure needed? Or is I saw what I saw, I'm out?
No,
now you got
to
think about
it. That's not usually what's going on. And usually there's more things to it.
Yep.
You know, usually an affair is not what ends a marriage. I mean, an affair is a result of a lot of other things, usually. I really believe there's a double standard for men and women. I think women can get through it a lot easier than men can. I think to a man, it's a pride issue.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, when you think of somebody boning your woman, that's a hard.
And she knows that. And she knows that.
Okay.
And then when they're bad, you still got to pay money.
Oh.
You still got to support that. You know what I'm saying? And it depends upon the lawyer. You're probably end up being in a house that you were paying for.
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you, you know, it's.
I really
believe there's a double standard. I think there's a double standard. I think that we men, women, I think women, you know, tend to get through that a whole lot easier than we men do.
Yep.
You playing that in your mind over and over, you know, some dude, your wife giving some dude a Hummer. you know, that's a hard one for a dude to take.
Yeah.
I mean, for the average dude.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, I think it's the same if a woman does it or a man does it, but I really think that for a guy, especially when she pulled the mood that she pulled on your boy, I mean, you see, that wasn't just a mood. That was punch you in the face. I don't respect you, and I'm gonna slap you hard. I'm gonna take your kids and move in with another gunslinger, and you ain't doing jack. Okay. That's a brazen in your face. I'm gonna punk you.
Yep.
I mean, to me, that's what that is. That's a woman that probably has been really hurt. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, a normal woman to pull that kind of game unless she, you know, as somebody said, she had been scorned. And all right, I'm at a point where I don't care and I don't respect you, and I'm gonna punch you back in the face.
So as men, we need to look in the mirror. When these things happen, you're saying sometimes a woman is so hurt that it's easier for her to step out as a way.
Yeah, now that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't change the fact. Okay, she moved in and took your kids and moved in with another gunslinger. That's a punk move.
So, 'cause basically, when you do that. And I could be wrong, guys. I could be wrong. But when another man, and some of us are on our second marriages, so if I'm saying something wrong, just let me know. I'm still on my
Some of us are on our third marriages.
Right.
If the woman cheats and then she takes the kid and move in with another man, and now this man is taking responsibility of your kid, and now he's saying you can't come in my house and tell me what to do in my house, even though those are your kids, how are you supposed to take that?
That's when you shoot him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just being dead serious. This thing is bigger than, I mean,
Andrew being dead serious too.
Are getting bigger in different situations, and I just want to know.
Yeah, well, let me help you, Mr. Host, because you bring up a good point, and you know, just imagine, you know, that whether you know the guy or not, let's just say that she starts a new relationship with a guy. Y'all get divorced and everything, and they continue on in their relationship. You know, and you have to see him when you do go pick up the kids for the weekend or whatever kind of custody arrangement you make out. I mean, how does that work? You know, this is the guy you caught or found out that she was doing on the side, and now they, you know, headed to wedded bliss, you know, whatever the case may be. They happily ever after.
Well, I got a brother who's like that. I got a brother, you know, a brother from another mother that's like that. He got married with me, whose family is a prominent member of a church. So she's holier than thou. And their marriage wasn't perfect, but they were making it through. She got tired of it. You know, regardless of whatever the reason was, but it was always that dude around, so we found out. And 6 months after they divorced, she got married again. You understand what I'm saying?
Wow.
Same thing. So we already knew, and everybody else knows now, that she's not going to marry somebody 6 months after the divorce. They were already messing with each other before that, before she wanted out. Real rap.
BJ,
it wasn't because, you know, he was cheating on her or beating her or whatever the case may be. He got laid off and couldn't find a job nowhere else.
Yep.
Hey, BJ, you on a Bluetooth, bro?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can tell. It's got a lot of echo and background noise. I don't want you to get a ticket, but, you know, picking up the phone. I know you're driving, but it's a lot of echo when you talk.
All right, well, I'm going to call y'all right back then.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry about that, guys. Guy's a truck driver. He's driving. Never mixes a call.
Yeah, that's what's up.
But anybody else want to jump in and take that one? The question on the table right now is, how do you reconcile this relationship, or can it be reconciled?
Yeah, and I'm glad you went there, Mr. Host, because just tying back to the topic, you know, how to forgive and love a cheating wife. I mean, that is the question, okay? You know, we're at the day after or the week later or, you know, how do we do it? I mean, do we do it?
I think it all depends on where you are in your faith. That's all that is. I mean, because you would need help beyond help to get past that. Supernatural help to get. I would need supernatural help to get me past that, because for me that's 125% deal breaker.
And not only that, but you know, you would have to see a humbleness and a brokenness in her.
Yeah.
You wouldn't be able to just, oh, okay, I forgive you. And, I mean, if she wasn't destroyed by what she had done,
you would have a hard way to be able, because you see, once you cross those lines, see, the marriage you had is over. Okay, once you cross those lines, the marriage is over. That doesn't mean that you can't build a new marriage with the same person. The marriage you had is over once you get to those points.
Yep.
Marriage you had is over. And that's not the beginning, because by the time you find out that she was doing it, you know what I mean, you probably have spent 6, 8, 10, 12 months in your marital bed getting none, because the next man was getting it. So that's a lot that you have to overcome.
Yeah, and see what happens after all this stuff comes to light. You start to think in retrospect, and the pieces start falling together. Okay, what actually happens, you know, the next day, you know, or weeks and months, you start to think back, and then you really start to notice, these are the signs I missed. This is what she'd been doing, and she'd been playing me for a fool. She'd been playing me for a sucker. Okay, and you go through a lot of stages. You know. First of all, you'll go through remorse, and you'll go through mourning of the relationship. You'll get angry. You'll get mad. You'll feel guilty. You'll go through every emotion you can think of. At the end of the day, you have to end with forgiveness. Because if you don't, you will be destroyed for the rest of your life. You won't be able to move forward.
Yeah. And Andrew,
I'm going to forgive you, though. But you're right. I'm going to forgive you because I have to. But I'm not going to move forward with this marriage.
You may or may not, but you have to forgive them. If you don't
forgive them,
then you're going to be in a situation that you will never get beyond it, and you'll project this on the next relationship you're in, and it's going to be a cycle, because the unforgiveness that you have is going to destroy you.
Yeah. And I think that's the key, is that, you know, like you said, you have to forgive them, but at that point you can make a decision whether to stay or go. I mean, and I think that y'all have been married more than once, and I think y'all's situation is very unique, because it's more for you, because you've made those mistakes in your previous relationship, and y'all would probably be devastated if that happened in this relationship. And I don't mean to be putting words in your mouth, but I think that y'all have taken and reflected on what you did in your previous relationship and applied that, and actually made this marriage so much sweeter and sweeter because of the mistakes you made in the first and second time around.
I would be at a point of not as devastated as you'd think. I would be, you know, let down. But see, the only thing that got me through what I went through before was the Lord. And I mean, I had to develop. I was the only thing I had. I lost everything else. And in the depth of it, He never left me. And no matter what the situation, the only way I could get married again was having some serious conversation with God, and Him letting me know I got to trust Him. And no matter what the situation that happened, He was going to be there and carry me through.
See, hey,
when I first went through all this, I wasn't saved. I didn't know I could lean on God. So, you know, it would be devastating. It would be a difficult, you know, situation. But you know what? I never say never.
All right. Can I ask a question? Oh, Tone, you had a question. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to ask this question to Andrew. Andrew, you got your seatbelt on?
Yeah.
Okay, because I got mine on. Let me ask you a question, because me and you traveled very, very similar paths, okay? And right now, you know, infidelity is the last thing on our mind in our marriage because of our walk. But if some crazy, mystical way it happened to us now today, do you think that in some crazy way we would think that maybe we had it coming?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
And I don't think it's so crazy and mythical to think it couldn't happen. Because, you know, we're all human, and we can all get weak.
Yeah, but can I add on to that question?
Go ahead.
The question is, would it matter if the cheating happened early in the marriage? or later on in the marriage?
Huh?
What I mean by that is, like, 1 or 2 years in the marriage, like the first couple years in the marriage, or if you 10, 11, 12 years in the marriage, or does it matter?
I think it does matter.
It does matter.
You know, you talking 15 years, and she's going to be, come on. I think it's easier to move forward if you're fresh, quote unquote, newlywed, 1 or 2 years, 3 years, and that happens. It's easy. I won't say it's easy, but I'd say it's less difficult to proceed with the marriage. I mean, that's just my thought.
Yeah, but you also have to look at, you got 15, 20 years, you got a lot more invested here. You've probably accomplished a lot together, and there's a whole lot more on the line.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, if you're 1, 2 years in a marriage, chances are you guys are just getting started, and you haven't established the things that you would establish 15, 20 years down the line.
Yeah, no kids, no real estate, you know, that kind of stuff.
I don't know, but I know me, and I know the fight I got to take and the hits that I got to take on a daily basis. And I just thank God that he's been there and I've been strong. But that don't mean I couldn't get weak one time.
Right.
That doesn't mean that she couldn't. So I look at things very different today than what I did before. And being saved and the growth that I've had in the Lord is a lot different than where I was before. I wasn't a Christian. I had just become a Christian going through all that stuff, you know.
And I think that's the crux of what we're talking about, really, Andrew. You just hit it on the nail on the head. You don't even realize it. Because this, I would venture to say that this scenario was a big piece of you getting your life right.
This was the piece of me getting my life right.
Right. That was.
So, I mean, had not you gone down this path, you could still be out there hitting them.
That's exactly,
you know?
Right. I look at it, and believe me, I would never, ever want to have to go through the pain that I had to go through, but I thank God I did, because I was heading on a path. I had so much pride and ego that the only way he could get my attention was to shake me to the core. And with me, I mean, I was heading on a crash course to hell. And until he got my attention in that way, and for me it was really tough, because I'm a real go-getter. I'm a fighter, and I play to win. And when she left, I decided I'm bringing her home. Okay, and that became the overwhelming, you know, okay, that's the goal on the goal sheet. Let's draw up the plan, and let's fight, and let's make it happen. I play to win, I don't lose. And when I couldn't make it happen, and I couldn't make it happen, and I dove more and more into the Word, I got mad at God. I said, God, I've done everything. I prayed, I've this and that, you know, and you haven't sent her home, and you know, I don't understand. You know, how could you let her walk away from you? Why don't you change her heart? Okay, and God put his thumb on me. He said, you walked away from me for 40 years. You know, I've been calling you, and you didn't come to me.
Exactly.
You know, and like I said, for me, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And I'm not saying that sin is a good thing or anything like that. You know, but for me, it's what changed life. Now, you know, I wasn't like our pastor, got saved at 5 and preaching to the teddy bears at 10. I mean, I didn't have that kind of deal. I was more power to him. You know, and that's a great thing. You know, I wasn't like that, and God had to do a whole lot more to get me. You know, because I was a heavy hitter for the other team, man. It didn't matter. I mean, it was all about me.
Yeah,
and
I
this,
think we're all.
This hadn't
there.
Happened in my life, Rodney. I mean, I don't know if I'm breathing today.
Yeah, and Michael Novak said that the wise learn from tragedy; the foolish merely repeat it.
Yeah, the foolish. Now, I have a question. It's getting close to 11, but I don't think we're over yet. I think we got a lot to talk about, but I'll leave that up to the gallery here. Here's my question, and this is what we need. I haven't heard all night. I heard the funny part of what we would, but when do we fight for our lives? When do we say we made a mistake? Okay? And I said we, because if she cheated, it was probably something we did. So when do we go to counseling? Do we talk it out? Do we start over? Hi, my name is such and such. What's yours? Do we go through the courting stage again? How do we get our marriage back strong? If we or do we just give up on our marriages because our wife cheated?
That's a great question, Mr. Host. And I think T-Hawk partially answered that as well as Andrew, because Andrew said that, you know, like you said, it's a new marriage. And what T-Hawk said earlier about you have to reflect and do all that, but it comes back to what T-Hawk said earlier about it's where you are in your spiritual walk. I mean, at that point in your life, because you're going to need some supernatural help to help you to fight for your wife and to get the other dude out of the picture and to go through all of that and for all that stuff to come up in counseling where she was saying, yeah, I gave him a dome on the couch, you know, while the kids were upstairs. I mean, all of that stuff has got to come out, and it's still going to be painful. So you have to, yeah, I think it just depends on, you know, where you are in your walk. And maybe, you know, the opportunity, I think you're at a crossroads. I mean, either way you can get, either direction you go, whether if you fight with your wife, fight for your wife or divorce her, the situation can bring you closer to him, which is the ultimate goal, which is what he wants anyway, to bring you closer to him.
Because what we don't want to do, and I just want to add on, throw a joke in there every once in a while, but what we don't want to do is become the white Bronco.
Yeah, right.
Right, we don't want to watch, and we all know the story, if we know the case, is that he was standing there in the middle and he was watching them make out on the couch with the kids and them. He loses. We got to understand that faults happen. People make mistakes. But we got to also not make the same mistake by losing it ourselves.
Yeah, see, there's two different situations. The situation when you walk up on it is a reaction. Okay, and you know, it's nice to say this is how I would react. I would go straight up crazy. You don't know how you'd react in that situation. You really don't. And a lot of it has to do with you and where you are at that time and all that kind of thing. But the real deal is, okay, where do we go from here? Okay, and you know, that conversation has to happen. And if you decide that you want to see if there's a way through this together, there's a lot that has to go on, and it begins with, okay, let's see what we can do and see if there's a way through this. And in a counseling situation, what actually will start to happen is the onion will start to get unpeeled. And see, there's a lot of layers on top of, you know, your woman doing this. And you've really got to get to the core of it. And it may even come out that there's some stuff that went down before you even knew this woman. You know, and at the core of it, if you can get down to the core of the hurts and build on forgivenesses, then it is possible, it's possible to build a new marriage. And it may be better than what you had.
Yeah, but the biggest thing is that internal warfare that you're going to have to deal with. Your hurt, your betrayal, your disappointment, versus the fact that you still love this woman, it's your family, and you still want to be with this woman. And you're going to be dealing with that back and forth. It's like good versus evil inside. And I think that's the hardest part. And a lot of times, the good part, if your faith is in the right place, the good part is going to win.
But T-Hawk, what Andrew said, which was a key word, together. It's got to be two people fighting for it together, because one is not going to cut it. Both of them have to have the same goal.
Oh, it's got to be both people. Yeah. I mean, yeah. If she's out, she's out.
Yeah.
If she's doing it and she's happy where she's at, you can forget about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's no going over there and convincing her to leave Gunslinger.
No.
Right. Yeah.
That's a dead issue.
If you got to go try to convince her to leave Gunslinger, it ain't going to work.
Yes.
Now, if she humbly comes and is destroyed by what she's done, that might be a different situation, and you may have a chance of making, you know, making something happen with a new marriage. But if you got to go try to drag her out and pull her away from dude, trust me, she's going to be right back up in there doing the Hummer thing.
Yeah,
that's not good. Well, it is 11 o'clock, fellas. It is 11 o'clock.
Man, that was quick.
That was good, man.
I was telling you, I was like, man, we got a lot to talk about, but it's 11 o'clock, and our rule is we can keep going or we can take it to open mic. It's up to the guys. I'll leave it up to y'all tonight. It's very good. Somebody's going to get saved. Somebody's going to change their life by listening to this call.
Absolutely.
I have that feeling. It's going to be sitting on our website at www.householdstress.com. I think that somebody is going to really take this to heart, because we never know who it's happening to. If it could be somebody on this call right now, or it could have been something that they did wrong when it happened to them before, and they didn't think of these other ways of doing things.
Or it could happen to them in the future.
Or it can happen to
then let's do this. What advice would you give somebody that's going through it right now?
The first advice I would give somebody is don't flatjack kill a dude.
Yeah, that's good advice, man.
Walk away and get some people that can help you through it, because she ain't worth it. I mean, bottom line, if she's going to do that, she ain't worth you being stabbed in jail or dead. She ain't worth it. And there's too many fine women out there that you got to worry about. This is the last one for me.
Explore all your options. Sometimes we got to sit down and do research. I mean, it seems funny, but you need to know. I mean, one person said, you know, you need to consult a lawyer. Some person said, you know, you can go to the internet and see. Communicating with your pastor, communicating on talkshoe.com on Tuesday nights, coming on here and ask another man. But explore all your options and then take a deep breath and pray. I'm going to say, take it to God and then say, what should I do? Should I go and talk to my wife and we work this out, or is it at a point where it is okay for me to move on?
Yeah, and I think bottom line is that we, as we say all the time, if we were to give advice, it's not a perfect answer. You know, it's based on your situation. I mean, we've stated on here that you can divorce her. You can go that route, or you can try to work it out. It's based on your personal situation.
Yeah, and also be very leery of the messenger. What I mean by that is the person that you talk to in reference to getting your advice from. You know, a lot of times when you're in a marriage situation, that single coworker can't help you.
Yep.
Because he may tell you to roll out. You know what I mean?
Or she may tell you to roll out.
Or she may tell you to roll out, or vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So you have to find somebody that may have been a little bit more seasoned in marriage and have been through some things, got little bumps and bruises on them, and find out how they would have gotten through it, you know, opposed to just listening to the first person that will listen to you.
Right.
And 9 times out of 10, you might find out that the person you're talking to has happened to them.
Good words.
Yep.
Good words. Good advice.
Good. Guys, this was great. It is that time to end the call. and go to that special thing we call open mic. Open mic is something that we do every single week after our great call, where you can go in and just talk about anything you want to talk about. So before we leave, do we have a topic for next week?
We do have a topic next week, and great job, Mr. Host. I'm going to do my best to top that. It's going to be a challenge. But next week's topic is, does marriage make life easier or harder?
Ooh, good Lord. Oh, man. What a topic. All these topics are getting stronger and stronger.
I'm telling you. Yeah, be back next week. Yeah.
Be back next week. And thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the www.householdstress.com virtual talk show for married men. You can also go to our website, www.householdstress.com, at any time to be called over. Not only this show, but any of our other episodes. With that said, everybody, God bless. Have a good night. This call has now ended, and we're going to the open mic.